Douglas Crook, Sunday PM, January 10th, 2010.
Well, if you would open with me this evening to the 119th Psalm, we'll read the first eight verses again. We are periodically studying this Psalm, the 119th Psalm. Specifically, we are considering the 10 different names or descriptions of the Word of God that reveal for us the value of God's Word, that He has revealed to us because, as we heard this morning, because He loves us, He has revealed His purposes and His will and His instructions. And in this opening verses of Psalm 119, obviously it's a long psalm and it is worth the study to go verse by verse. We have not been doing that and will not do that in this series. But in these opening verses, I believe all 10 are mentioned. There may be one or two that's missing in this particular passage I forgot to review. But it gives us a good number of the ones that we're considering, these 10 names or descriptions of the Word of God. So as we read this, as the psalmist proclaims the value of God's Word, notice how many ways he describes it. Notice how many titles that he gives it. And each of these titles emphasize a certain aspect. It's all the same word he's describing here. They're not 10 different revelations of God's Word, of His will. It's describing the same revealed will of God, which in the psalmist's day was simply the law of Moses and the whatever prophecies had been given by that time. For us in this church age, this description describes the fullness of the revelation that was given to us in the New Testament through the New Testament writers and in its fullness through the Apostle Paul. So each of these names, each of these titles gives us a different nuance or a different aspect of the value of the Word of God. And so let's read the first eight verses, Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all Your commandments, I will praise You with uprightness of heart. When I learn Your righteous judgments, I will keep You Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. So as we have gone through this study so far, we have considered law and what that word means and what aspects and the value of the Word of God. We've looked at statutes. This evening we want to consider the word and the title, the description, precepts, found there in verse 4. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts. Now in the English, the English word literally means to take beforehand. To take beforehand, which is an interesting thought and does coincide with the Hebrew thinking as well. But the dictionary gives this definition of precept in our English dictionary. It's a commandment or direction meant as a rule of action or conduct. A precept, even in the English form, can have legal application. In other words, there are legal applications, uses of the word precept, that mean you need to obey this legal precept or there will be legal consequences. In fact, this same word in our English Bible, the same Hebrew word is at times translated statutes and commandments. Now, it's the same word that's here translated precepts, but elsewhere it does translate it as commandments or statutes. So it does have that legal emphasis. And as we, when we use the term in this sense, legal, We're not talking about the law of Moses in legality. We're simply talking about it has that force behind it. But it also can have, both in the English and the Hebrew, it can simply be a necessary technical instruction that is given to direct an individual to prosper in whatever area the precept is. And there are several examples that we can use. I've used these examples before, you may remember. For those of you that use, let me see the hands so I can kind of get a feel of my congregation here. I think I kind of know who's who. But who uses a computer sometime during the week? All right, see, that's more than there used to be. So you're getting forced, some of you are getting forced to be used with, getting used to computers. How many use a Windows PC, Microsoft PC, as opposed to Mac? Okay, quite a few, most of you. A good precept, if you're using Microsoft Windows, a good precept to have a successful, stressless experience with Windows. I know those words don't normally go together. Jim, I want you to just sit quietly. Brother Freestone, keep your cane handy in case he gets unruly. He's a Mac guy. But if you're going to have good success in using Windows, a good precept to using Windows is always shut Windows down before you turn your computer off. Now, the reason for that is a reason. And, you know, you have to learn the precept and you just need to do it. But there's a reason for it. It's not just a pointless precept. Windows, when it shuts down, it reads certain important files and it saves it before it shuts itself off. And if you just shut the computer off, Windows doesn't have a chance to write that information. So the next time you turn it on, Windows is going, whoa, what's going on? This isn't working. And you're going to be more frustrated than you already are in your computer experience. So it's a precept that you have when you use your computer. For those that simply aren't going to go the computer route, you probably have driven a car. There are some precepts to have a successful experience with your car. A precept in your car maintenance is every 3,000 miles, change your oil. It's a precept. It's a technical instruction that the purpose of it is that you would be successful in that endeavor. If you want to have a car and cut down on the maintenance and have it work for you a long time, you need to pay attention to the precept to change your oil every 3,000 miles. There's a precept in safety. Especially, it's a precept we like to teach our children when they cross the street. Children, can someone tell me, what is a precept? What is an instruction your parents have given you when you are about to cross the street or when you're about to step out in this parking lot? What is an instruction they've given you? Somebody know? Maddie? Hold their hand. That's a good one. Another one, Jason? Look both ways before you cross the street. That's a precept. And hold your parents' hand is another precept that just adds to the safety. If you ignore the precept, the consequences can be tragic. But the precept to safety in crossing the street, look both ways. So it's a pretty simple thought. And this thought is exactly what's being set forth when the psalmist said, I need to keep your precepts. We need to look at God's word in this way. The Bible is God's precepts for life. You want to be successful in life? God wants you to be successful. He wants you to enjoy all that life has for us in His will. He wants us to enjoy the fullness in eternity. And so He gives us precepts. Certainly, His words are commands. We'll look at that, Lord willing, in the next time that we come around to the study. There is certainly that force of commandment in those precepts. But we need to have this perception of the Word of God because that's what it is. It's an instruction manual for life. When we follow it, it will enable us to live a profitable, successful, fulfilling life. That's why he gives us his word, his instruction. In the Hebrew, the word, the root word that this word precept comes from, in other words, the word that precept is built on, it's an interesting root. And I want us to consider it for just a moment because it gives us more of the flavor of what a precept is, what God's precept is, what his revealed will is. The root to this word is translated in the Old Testament in various ways. I'll give the translations to you, and then we'll just refer to where those are found. But this same word, when I say the same word, the root to this word that's translated precept in the Hebrew, it is translated visit. What's that got to do with a precept? It's also translated oversee. It's translated appoint. And it's translated a number of different times as the word number, to number something. This word precept has as its root this word. When it uses the word visit, God promised Sarah that she would have a child when she was too old to have a child. And when God came to make that miracle a reality, it said that God visited with this word. God visited Sarah. When God came to deliver the nation of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, it says that God visited Israel. So you're starting to get the feel of this word. Why is God's word so important? Why are his precepts so essential? When it's translated oversee is when Joseph was in Potiphar's house. In our study on Wednesday night, we're starting to get to that part. And there where it says Joseph oversaw Potiphar's house, it uses this same word that's translated visit. And then to appoint, when there were certain priests appointed to certain tasks in the tabernacle, it uses this word, God appointed them, or they were appointed. And then when Israel was told to number the tribes, it's the same word. So the thought behind it, when you put all of these meanings and uses together, the thought to the root of this is to take notice of something. That's where the thought visit comes from. To take notice, to take care of a thing, to attend to it, to have respect to it, and to visit it with the purpose of doing good. This is what God's word is all about. This is how the psalmist perceived the word of God. It was not a book of rules and do's and don'ts. And this was in a time when the revealed will of God was the law of Moses, which in the light of the New Testament, we understand that that law came in order to reveal sin. And yet, it is the word of God. And the psalmist did not see it as a rule book of do's and don'ts, but rather as precepts that were set for him to understand the will of God and the good that he desired for them. As our Creator, God takes notice of us. He respects the value of our existence, and he has appointed himself to oversee our well-being. We considered that this morning in the context of the love of God. But in this connection with precepts, he has committed himself to oversee our well-being. How does he do that? For the most part, he does it through his word, through the Bible. That's how he ministers to our well-being, by giving us instruction on the things that lead to his best. God's commands are not arbitrary and harsh dictates. the world sees the Bible like that. Many Christians see the Bible in that light. When we read that opening psalm, and you read all of the 119th psalm, you don't see there the writings of an individual that thinks the Word of God is a real burden. You see someone rejoicing in the revealed will of God because they understood its value. As God's children, we need to understand the value of His precepts. They are given to us because He loves us and because He wants us to enjoy His best. When we ignore the precepts of God, when we despise them as irrational dictates of a tyrannical God, which some Christians do, it's as foolish as a teenager who hears his dad say, you know, all right, this is the car that you're going to drive, but you need to maintain it, and you need to make sure that the oil gets changed every 3,000 miles. If that teenager says, oh, Dad, you're such an old fogey. If I think it needs something, I'll take care of it. If he ignores the precept of changing the oil in that car, what's going to happen? Sooner or later, that car is going to freeze up. And then that teenager who loves his independence, or her, who loves their independence and loves having that car to drive, all of a sudden is going to be without a car. And if they have parents that love them, they're going to make them pay for those repairs. And so now they're really in the hole. They're on foot. You see the consequences of ignoring wise precepts? The father didn't tell the teenager to change the oil in his car just because he wanted to boss his child around. It was for his successful experience with that car. Can we not see the Word of God as that for us? We need to approach the Word of God with that mentality. That's what you see in this 119th Psalm. It's someone who eagerly comes to the Word of God. Instruct me, because I want God's best. This is how we are to look at the Word of God. Let's go to the first Psalm. You see this understanding in men and women of faith all through the Bible, but in the Psalms we have a number of examples. We'll read a couple of Old Testament examples, and then we'll go to the New Testament. To see how when we surrender ourselves to God's loving instruction in His Word, the result is success, profit, progress, spiritually and otherwise, in the will of God. Psalm 1, and we'll just read all six verses here. Blessed is the man that is happy. You want to be happy in life? Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, the world has its precepts too. And the vast majority of them contradict the Word of God. Which group are you going to pay attention to? Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Is that how you consider the Word? It's a delight to read the Word of God. It's a delight to obey the Word of God. It must be for a child of faith. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You pay attention to precepts, you'll have success. He shall be, verse 4, excuse me, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The unbeliever knows nothing about the precepts of God, but the children of God have been given the privilege to have their Father's instruction. May we not have the same mentality that the unsaved person has. May we not walk in their precepts, but in the precepts of our loving Father. Joshua 1 is another example of success that is promised for obedience to the revealed will of God. Joshua chapter 1, we'll just read verses 6 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Be strong and of good courage. God speaking to Joshua. If you could put yourself in Joshua's sandals for a minute, Moses, the great man of faith, had died. And God didn't spare any words. He said, Joshua, Moses is dead. He's not going to be there to help you. He's been your mentor all this time, but he's gone. But now I want you to stand up and to lead my people. And he said, be strong and of a good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you, why should you not turn from it? That you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now let's go to the New Testament, so you understand that this same thought of the precepts of God bringing success, to understand this applies to us in this church age. In fact, it applies to us in a far greater way than the Old Testament. Because in this church age, we have been given the very life of Christ that is able to know and to learn and to obey the will of God. In the Old Testament, it was still by faith that they lived a life of righteousness, but they did not possess what we have the privilege to possess. They looked forward to that which was to come, but you and I live in the day when we have been given the very nature of God. And the precepts of God, the instruction of God for us in this church age, is every bit for our success spiritually as what we've been reading in the Old Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example of the believer in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In other words, in every aspect of your day-to-day life, be an example of what a believer is to be in their daily life. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. All of these things are found in the Bible, the Word of God, His precepts. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. This was a special gift of ministry that was given to Timothy. But then in verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Why? Why should he give himself to those exhortations, to that doctrine, to that reading of the Word of God? What is the purpose of that kind of dedication to knowing and applying the Word of God? What's the result of it? That your progress, the word there in the Greek, it means advancement or success, may be evident to all. Your spiritual advancement, your spiritual progress, your spiritual maturity should be made manifest to others as you submit yourself to the precepts of God's Word. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. This is why teaching is so important. It's what will lead to success. This is one thing that is so difficult from time to time, as there are so many people, young and old, but as I deal with many families that have come and gone, they're looking for something else for their children that will be more pleasing to their children and more entertaining for their children. But I'm not interested in entertaining your children. I'm interested in teaching them the things that will lead to success in life, this life and in eternity. Only sound doctrine can do that. Nothing else can. This is why it's so important. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. The saving here is not have to do with coming to know Jesus as your Savior. You read it in context, and the chapter is talking about the coming apostasy, where God's people will begin to ignore the precepts of God. But when we dedicate ourselves to these things, then we deliver ourselves and those around us that we can influence. We deliver them from the sorrow and the tragedy of ignoring the precepts of God. I'll give us an example list. The Bible is filled with these precepts that lead to success, that lead to spiritual maturity. If we obey these precepts, it will lead to success in the will of God, success in the life, in this life and in eternity. There's an example that we'll read, and we'll let this suffice for many examples. But so you know how practical this is. Just as real as the precept for the children concerning safety, look both ways before you cross the street. Now, you know, it's kind of a hard, fast rule. We've all heard it. I heard that when I was a kid. We should change it maybe, because, you know, I was old, and let's see, Brother Freestone, when his folks told him that, I won't say that. Horse and buggy. I'll just say it. There were horse and buggies crossing the street, but the precept still applied. I'm being exaggerating there a little bit, but maybe things have changed since he was a kid, so maybe we should change the precept. Doesn't the precept still apply? Yes. The same is true with the Word of God. We don't need to change them because they still lead to success. Ephesians 4 gives us some examples of some very clear, simple precepts that if we will obey, and this is just a sample list, because the whole Bible, the whole Word of God is full of precepts for life. But let's read a few of these. We'll read through, beginning in Ephesians 4 and verse 1. We'll skip around here a little bit, but Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Do you take that serious, that exhortation? We talked about the privilege of being called a child of God this morning. Oh, what manner of love. Behold it. That we should be called the children of God. That's our calling. Now we need to walk worthy of that calling, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Several precepts there. Some of them we'll consider a little later on in our love series. But jump down to verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. They don't understand the precepts of God. They can't. They're dead. But we're different. Being alienated from the life of God, the unbeliever, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk, to work all uncleanness and greediness. but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Is that a word we still use today? Holiness? We should. We should be examples of it. Therefore, putting away lying. Here comes the real clear precepts. There are several of them in there, but put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Is God just trying to show us who's boss by giving us these instructions? Or are these precepts that lead to success in life, in the will of God? Working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. The grace of God will change you from a selfish individual to a generous one, if you pay attention to his precepts. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What do you think about those words? You know, some of God's people, some that think they understand the grace of God, they say, Brother Doug, you shouldn't talk about those things. I really enjoyed what you talked about this morning. Let's just talk about God loving us. I am. Because God loves me, he gave me these technical instructions, these precepts of life, that if I will heed, if I will delight myself in them, they'll lead to success. We understand in the light of the New Testament that list that we read, kind of scratching the surface, but do you realize even in that list that we read about anger and forgiveness and all the other things it said to do, not a one of us here tonight would be able to follow any of those if it were not for the enabling of the Holy Spirit. We could look at those lists just like we could go to the Ten Commandments and say, well, that'd be nice, but I just don't have what it takes. And in yourself, you do not. But who are we, saints? Yes, we are saints. We've been made holy. We are the children of God, the born ones of God. Philippians 2. In this passage, Paul gives us that overwhelming command to obey the will of God, but then gives us the wonderful news that God will see to it that we're able to follow the instructions. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Now, why would the apostle of grace use that term? Because he loved God. Because he loved God's people. Therefore, my beloved, beloved by him, beloved by the Father, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. follow the precepts of life. As you have obeyed before, continue to obey God's instruction for your life. Let it work out. Let it be seen in your day-to-day choices, your day-to-day life. And you say, well, I'd like that, but I'm just not that strong, brother. Verse 13. Are you glad for this verse? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I'm glad that God loved me enough not to leave me in my stubborn way. Some of you know my stubborn ways. Don't talk to my wife, please. I'm glad God didn't leave me to my stubborn ways. But he gave me a desire for something better. And then he gave me the ability to enter into it. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now verse 14 doesn't seem so ominous. Do all things without complaining and disputing. I don't know about you, but that's not me. I like to complain. But the Christ in me is able to respond to the precept of God. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Why? That you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And you're only going to shine brighter as things get darker. But we need to continue to shine. How do we do that? Holding fast the word of life. Or we could, in the context of our study, holding fast to the precepts of life. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. We're going to close with that and open up the altars tonight. But I pray that we would come around these altars tonight and cry out to God for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit in order that we might live according to the precepts of God. And once again, apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you can't and I can't. But he's here. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have what it takes to respond to these precepts, to understand them, and to obey them, to apply them to our daily life, that we might be successful in life. We can come and thank God for the privilege. The world doesn't have what it takes for real success. Now, they have what it takes for success, to get wealthy and powerful. There are precepts that lead to that. But when they're dead and gone, Brother Virgil in his Sunday school lesson talked about Lazarus and the rich man. When this life's over, real success will be seen. And it comes from those who have paid attention to the precepts of God. We'll consider ourselves dismissed, but come around these altars and let's just call upon the Lord that we might be those shining lights that we need to be.